My laws are just, my ways are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, war she made you lack.
Welcome back to the Remnant Reading Room, featuring the book entitled Come Out of Her, My People by C.J. Coster. This book was a major step in my walk of finding the true worship, the way our Father wants us to not only worship, but to live and to exalt His name above the nations. Join us and stick with us as we walk together to find truth and freedom from idolatrous ways. We will continue with chapter 1 of the book entitled Sun Worship Has Been Merged with Messianic Belief. You may download the scriptures for this segment by clicking on the program on the schedule at Zion Radio, or you may find it in Eliyahu Ben David's weekly newsletter. Just look for the link there. Kingdom Outpost, consider this study for you.
I hear your cries and shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink, washing in my word and rid you of the stink.
Welcome back to our reading this session. Last time we read a lot of scriptures talking about the pagan worship, which is forbidden to the people of the Almighty. And now we're going to take up the rest of that portion. Notice especially in 2 Kings 7:33 and 41 how true worship was mixed with idol worship. 2 Kings 17:33, they were fearing Yahweh, and they were serving their own mighty ones, according to the ruling of the nations from among whom they had been exiled. The footnote says that's mixed worship. And 2 Kings 17:41. So these nations were fearing Yahweh and serving their carved images, both their children and their children's children, as their fathers did, they are doing to this day. Again, the footnote says, mixed worship. Note also that even the high priest Aaron was persuaded by his people to lead them into a mixed worship. Exodus 32:5. And Aaron saw and built an altar before it, it being the golden calf. And Aaron called out and said, tomorrow is a festival to Yahweh. The Almighty's wrath was kindled, and he wanted to destroy everybody except Moses. Other examples of mixed worship are Ezekiel 23:38-39, and Jeremiah 7:2, and Jeremiah 8-18. We're going to read those now. Ezekiel 23:38. They also did this to me. They have defiled my set-apart place on the same day, and they have profaned my Sabbaths. 23:39. For when they had slain their children for their idols, on the same day they came into my set-apart place to profane it. And see, that is what they did in the midst of my house. Jeremiah 7:2. Stand in the gate of the house of Yahweh, and you shall proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of Yahweh, all of you of Yehuda, who enter in at these gates to bow before Yahweh. And then Jeremiah 7:8. See, you are trusting in false words, which do not profit. 7:9. Stealing, murdering, and committing adultery, and swearing falsely, and burning incense to Baal, and walking after other mighty ones you have not known. Verse 10. And you came and stood before me in this house, which is called by my name, and said, we have been delivered in order to do all these abominations. Verse 11. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Look, I myself have seen it, declares Yahweh. 7:12. But go now to my place at Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. Verse 13. And now, because you have done all these works, declares Yahweh, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear. And I called you, but you did not answer. Verse 14. I shall also do to this house, which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to this place, which I gave to you and your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. Verse 15. And I shall cast you out of my presence, as I have cast out all your brothers, all the seed of Ephraim. Verse 16. And you do not pray for this people, nor lift up a cry or prayer for them, nor make intercession to me, for I do not hear you. And 17. Do you not see what they are doing in the streets of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem? Verse 18. The children are gathering wood, the fathers are lighting the fire, and the women are kneading their dough to make cakes for the sovereignness of the heavens, and to pour out drink offerings to other mighty ones, to provoke me. In an attempt to justify this assimilation of sun worship with the New Testament belief, much appeal was made, especially in the early centuries, to Malachi 4:2, the prophetic promise, interpreted by many to mean the Messiah of the Son of Righteousness. However, this figure of speech cannot justify the adoption of sun worship, just as the figurative reference to the Messiah as the Lion of the tribe of Judah in Revelation 5:5 cannot justify the adoption of lion worship. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, overcame to open the scroll and to loosen its seven seals. For primitive man, ignorant of the true worship and the true mighty one, it is only natural to start venerating or paying homage to the sun, moon, and stars, the host of heaven, of which the sun is the most important, giving warmth to man and animal, and life-giving growth to plants. That's the reason why, when Yahweh commanded his people to keep the Ten Commandment covenant, he warned them against the corruption of worshiping and serving the sun and the moon and the stars, the host of heaven, things which Yahweh has divided unto all nations. Deuteronomy 4:13-19. Deuteronomy 4:13. And he made known to you his covenant, which he commanded you to do, the 10 words. And he wrote them on 2 tablets of stone, 4:14. And Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you laws and write rulings, for you to do them in the land which you pass over to possess. Deuteronomy 4:15. Therefore, diligently guard yourselves, for you saw no form when Yahweh spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. 16. Lest you should do corruptly, and shall make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Deuteronomy 4:17. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the heavens. Deuteronomy 4:18. The likeness of any creature that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. Deuteronomy 4:19. And lest you lift your eyes to the heavens, and shall see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of the heavens, and you be drawn away into bowing down to them and serving them, which Yahweh your Elohim has allotted to all the peoples under the heavens. The Wycliffe Bible Commentary comments on Deuteronomy 4:19. The worship of the visible and creaturely was characteristic of the Gentile nations whom Elohim had abandoned to their perverse folly. Dr. J. H. Hertz, in Pentateuch and Haftorahs, comments on Deuteronomy 4:19 as follows. The heavenly luminaries exercised a great fascination upon early man. The host of heaven was the dominant influence in Babylonian religion. The Egyptians also revered the sun, the moon, and the stars as symbols of deities. Associated with this worship was also the superstition that the heavenly bodies influenced the lives of mortals, a superstition which is not yet altogether extinct. Elohim had suffered the heathens to worship the sun, moon, and stars. That's the end of that quote. Because of similar comments by others, the Good News Bible took the liberty of rendering Deuteronomy 4:19, quote, "The sun, the moon, and the stars, Elohim has given these to all other peoples for them to worship." The New English Bible also relates this verse this way. We do not want to justify this rather free translation in the light of Acts 7:38, 39, and 42, as well as Jeremiah 10:2. It prompts us to carefully heed his warning to remain in his covenant, his law, lest we become as the heathen who worship the host of heaven, the heavenly body. Let's go back and read those verses, starting with Acts 7:38. This is he who was in the assembly in the wilderness with the messenger, who spoke to him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the living word to give to us. 39. Unto whom our fathers would not become obedient, but thrust away, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. Acts 7:42. So Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of the heaven, as it has been written in the book of the prophet, "Did you bring slaughtered beasts and offerings unto me during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel?" And Jeremiah 10:2. Thus says Yahweh, "Do not learn the way of the Gentiles, and do not be awed by the signs of the heavens, for the Gentiles are awed by them." In Acts 7:38-42, which we just read, We read of the Spirit-filled Stephen reprimanding his fellow Jews for not keeping the law. Acts 7:53. Just like their forefathers who received the living words. Let's read Acts 7:53. Who received the Torah as it was ordained by messengers, but did not watch over it. But the forefathers did not obey the living words. Therefore, what was the result? Acts 7:42 reads, Then Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. In Jeremiah 10:2, we read, Thus says Yahweh, Do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed or awed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed or awed at them. This is astrology, an astrological religion, which had its origin in ancient Chaldea, Babylon, and later on moved to Rome, being based on the different paths of the sun through the sky, displaying the sun at the center of the zodiac. The people of Yahweh are forbidden to participate in these ways or customs of the Gentiles. Furthermore, being secretly enticed by the sun or the moon or any homage paid to them is an iniquity and a denial of Elohim. Job 31:26-28. Job 31:26. If I have looked at the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in brightness. 27. So that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand. 31:28. That too is a punishable crookedness, for I would have denied El above. In Ezekiel 8:3-16, we see the most alarming description of how idolatrous worship is merged with true worship, especially in verses 14-16, where sun worship has been brought into the house of Yahweh. Let's read Ezekiel 8:3-16 now. And he stretched out the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my hair. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens and brought me in visions of Elohim to Yerushalayim, to the door of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the image of jealousy was, which causes jealousy. Ezekiel 8:4. And see, the esteem of Elohim of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. Ezekiel 8:5. And he said to me, Son of man, please lift your eyes toward the north. And I lifted my eyes northward, and north of the altar gate I saw this image of jealousy in the entrance. Ezekiel 8:6. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abominations which the house of Israel are doing here, driving me away from my set-apart place. And you are to see still greater abominations. Ezekiel 8:7. Then he brought me to the door of the court, and I looked and saw a hole in the wall. Ezekiel 8:8. And he said to me, Son of man, please dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, I saw a door. Ezekiel 8:9. And he said to me, Go in and see the evil abominations which they are doing there. 8:10. And I went in and looked and saw all kinds of creeping creatures, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel carved all around on the walls. 8:11. And facing them stood 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Ya'azaniahu, son of Shaphan. Each one had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Ezekiel 8:12. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark, each one in the room of his idols? For they say, Yahweh doesn't see us. Yahweh has forsaken the land. Ezekiel 8:13. And he said to me, You are going to see still greater abominations which they are doing. Ezekiel 8:14. And he brought me to the door of the north gate of the house of Yahweh. And I saw a woman sitting there, weeping for Tammuz. Ezekiel 8:15. Then he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? You are to see still greater abominations than these. Ezekiel 8:16. And he brought me into the inner court of the house of Yahweh. And there at the door of the temple of Yahweh, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of Yahweh, and their faces toward the east. And they were bowing themselves eastward to the sun. The Tammuz worship of verse 14 is just one form of sun worship, Tammuz being the incarnate sun, the young rising sun, as a deity. In verse 16, the prophet was also shown the 25 men worshiping the sun towards the east, and that is exactly what started taking place in post-apostolic Christianity. This praying toward the sun in the east is recorded in the writings of Clement of Alexandria, 150 to 215 CE, as well as in the writing of his scholar, Origen. They were both guilty of trying to justify this practice, which Yahweh labeled wicked abominations. Ezekiel 8:9. The bishop of Carthage, Cyprian, in the year 258, also exhorted Christians to pray to the east at sunrise. On the other hand, in the year 197, Tertullian, writing in his Ad Nationals 1:13, accused fellow Christians of sun worship because of their praying to the east and because of making Sunday a day of festivity. Despite this warning by Tertullian, Augustine in 350 through 430 CE, in his many writings, was repeatedly trying to justify his prayer to the east. This was a regular practice in the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome, which caused Pope Leo the Great to make a vigorous attack on this practice in the year 461. However, his objection was ignored, and they continued with this in the Basilica up to the year 1300, as we shall see later. Another voice in the wilderness was crying out against this practice, that of Eusebius of Alexandria, who wrote, quote, And not only sun worshipers and heretics do this, but also Christians, departing from the faith, mingle with heretics, unquote. These important facts are all well documented in F.J. Dolger, Sol Salutis, as well as in Dr. Samuel Boccaccio, From Sabbath to Sunday. In Ezekiel 8:9, Elohim calls this a wicked abomination. Ezekiel 8:9. And he said to me, "Go in and see the evil abominations which they are doing there." In Deuteronomy 17:3-5, the civil law demanded that those of Israel who were found guilty of worshiping the sun or moon or any of the hosts of heaven were to be stoned to death. Let's read those verses. Deuteronomy 17:3. "And has gone and served other mighty ones, and bowed down to them, or to the sun, or to the moon, or to any of the host of heavens, which I have not commanded." 17:4. "And it is made known to you, and you have heard, and have searched diligently. Then see, if true, the matter is confirmed that such an abomination has been done in Israel." 17:5. "Then you shall bring out to your gates that man or woman who has done this evil matter, and you shall stone to death that man or woman with stones." Has our mighty one changed? "For I am Yahweh, I do not change." Malachi 3:6. "He is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." James 1:17. Malachi 3:6. "For I am Yahweh, I shall not change, and you, O sons of Jacob, shall not come to an end." And James 1:17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of turning." The civil laws of the Scriptures are not being applied today, but Yahweh has not changed and will still mete out righteous punishment. This is a quote, Romans 2:4-13. Quote, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of Elohim leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Elohim, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for esteem or glory, honor and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But esteem, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with Elohim. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of Elohim, but the doers of the law will be justified." And again, that was Romans 2:4-13. Let us not despise his forbearance and longsuffering. Because of his forbearance and longsuffering, we have come to salvation. Think of it. He is patiently leading us to repentance, repentance from every form of sin. The law cannot forgive and save us, but the purpose of the law is to tell us what sin is. Read this for yourselves in 1 John 3:4, Exodus 20:20, Romans 3:20, Romans 4:15, and Romans 7:7. Let's read those verses now. 1 John 3:4. Everyone doing sin also does lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Exodus 20:20. And Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Elohim has come to prove you, and in order that his fear be before you, so that you do not sin. Romans 3:20. Therefore, by works of Torah, no flesh shall be declared right before him. For by the Torah is the knowledge of sin. Romans 4:15. For the Torah works out wrath, for where there is no Torah, there is no transgression. Romans 7:7. What then shall we say? Is the Torah sin? Let it not be. However, I did not know sin except through the Torah. For also the covetousness I knew not if the Torah had not said, you shall not covet. In Deuteronomy 12:30, Israel was warned not to follow the Gentiles in their idolatrous religions. Take heed to yourself, that you do not inquire after their mighty ones, saying, how did these nations serve their mighty ones? I also will do likewise. Here's another version of that verse, Deuteronomy 12:30. Guard yourself that you are not ensnared to follow after them, after they are destroyed from before you, that you do not inquire about their mighty ones, saying, how did these nations serve their mighty ones? And let me do so too. Israel was prohibited the frank worship of idols, as well as the manner in which the idols were worshipped. Not only is frank sun worship forbidden, but also the mode, the manner, and the means by which the sun was worshipped, the how. It is important to take note of this. We shall now discuss the manner of sun worship, the customs, and the how of sun worship, which became merged with the messianic belief by Emperor Constantine and others that followed, political leaders, but especially religious leaders. In spite of subsequent attempts to justify the adoption of these components of sun worship, their origin is important and it must be exposed. Let us get complete clarity on the attempts made to justify these adoptions, this canonization, this Christianization, or sanctification, of heathen customs, deities, or festivals. The scriptures are very clear on this. These things cannot be sanctified. Only repentant sinners, humans, can. Ignorance of and deviating from this most basic scriptural principle has been the root cause for this great sickness of solarization that has befallen the church. We must repent of this great sin if we earnestly seek a restoration or a revival. If we genuinely seek to turn back to Yahweh and turn back from Babylonian captivity to come out of Babylon. We've completed chapter 1, entitled Sun Worship Has Been Merged with the Messianic Belief. Thank you for listening. You may download the scriptures for this segment by clicking on the program on the schedule at Zion Radio, or you may find it in Eliyahu Ben David's weekly newsletter. Just look for the link there. If you want to share this information with others, feel free to do so. Your questions or comments are welcome. Just email me at Sheila, that's S-H-E-L-I-A, at Zion, T-S-I-Y-O-N .org. Shalom. See you next time. You trust me in this.
blessings begin to mount. Come away, come away, my beloved, away from falling Babylon.
That's the end of today's reading. Be sure to join us next time as we continue reading more from Come Out of Her, My People. To see when the next program will air, go to the schedule on our website at zion.org. A copy of the scriptures we read today can be found by clicking on today's program in the station schedule on our website. To check the schedule and download a copy of the scriptures included in each program, go to tsiyon.org. And be sure to join us next time for more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people. Thanks for listening to today's program.